Thanks so much for joining me on this edition of The Chalene Show. Today, we're talking about how to create an amazing circle of friends.
Welcome to The Chalene Show. Chalene is a New York Times bestselling author, celebrity fitness trainer, and obsessed with helping you live your dream life.
Now, this topic, today's topic for the show, is completely inspired by your requests. And most of these requests came in after I spent 3 days in the mountains on a girls' trip. It was 11 of us in the mountains in Park City, Utah. It's something that I do every year. It's a really special group of friends. And I shared a lot of that trip on my social media. So in the morning, we would do a prayer circle. We would snowboard during the day, cooking together. We went sledding, hair and makeup tutorials. You know, it's just one house with 11 girls all hanging out and having an amazing time together. You know, I try not to overdo it because, I don't know, I follow a few other people on social media that when they take trips with their friends, I'm like, all right, enough already. You know, so I tried not to overdo it, but it was really great to hear that people very much enjoyed it, which was the reason why I wanted to create this podcast, because I heard from so many, well, women in particular, but I think the guys need to hear this too. I think I have a lot of female followers, so I heard from them saying, I don't know how to make this happen, but I want it. I want to connect. I want to belly laugh. I want to just like let go, be myself, have a freaking awesome time. And how do I do that? I think guys need that too. At least my friends, when we talk about our husbands or our boyfriends or whatever, it seems that men don't prioritize time with the guys as much as the ladies do. So I'm hoping that all the tips that I share in this episode, you can relate to them and you can apply them to your life, male or female. So how do you do that? How do you put together? How do you invite yourself to belong to a group of friends? How do you make new friends, right? If you've got friends, how do you pull them all together? And how do you know who to invite? And what does this look like? All right, that's what we're going to talk about in this episode. Let me start by saying what I'm talking about isn't just a group of friends. That's great if you've got just like a group of people that you're acquaintances with. I want to, in this episode, explore what it means to have a group of ride or dies. Like, these are people who, they're like, I don't care, you don't have to explain it to me, I trust you, let's do it. They're the people who, you don't have to necessarily talk to them every day, but they have your back. Like, they will, I will cut you if you come for one of my girls, right? Like, these are the people who you know they're going to speak the truth to you. They don't want anything from you. They aren't jealous. They're not vindictive. They're not gossiping behind your back. They really want the best for you. And they're hopefully it's a group of women or a group of friends, I should say, that they inspire you. They make you want to be better. I'm not talking about that group that you hang out with because it makes it okay that you have these negative things in your life, right? Like, we all know that person who hangs out with a crowd that's like, eh, it's bringing them down because they're engaging in behaviors that don't make them a better mom, don't make them a better wife, a better businessman, and a better father. They're hanging out with this group because, you know what they say, birds of a feather flock together. And so they're hanging out with a group that's pulling them down and it makes them feel better about themselves because their circle of friends is doing all these kind of lame things too. I'm talking about a group that lifts you up. Well, let me start by just sharing my own experience, and I hope that it will shed some light on your situation. The group that I invite on an annual girls trip every year, there's like probably 10 or 15 girls, and it rotates based on who's available, kind of what's going on in our lives, and sometimes closeness, right? I mean, relationships do, in fact, take work, you know, because I'm the planner, I'm the organizer, and I reached out to my friends in social media and said, okay, I know some of you do a trip like this, or you've got a group of friends that's tight like this. I want to hear from those of you who are the glue, the ones who keep it together, because there needs to be an organizer. Everyone plays a different role in a group like this. I happen to be the organizer, and that's kind of step one. I mean, if there's no one organizing this group of friends to get together, then there's no friends getting together. And if you're not connecting with the organizer, and you're not the person organizing, then this thing is never going to happen. So step one is either you've got to organize this or you've got to connect with the person who is the organizer. Now, a few words about the organizer. because I heard from many of them. So what I did is I put this out on, I think, on Snapchat and on my Instagram story. And I said, hey, if you have a group of friends that maybe you've been friends with for more than 5 years, you get together on a regular basis, maybe you live all over the country, if you are the person who kind of keeps this group together, I want to hear from you. And I created an online survey for them. And I had about 25 people respond. So I'm not saying it's like a scientific study, but it's very interesting that I got a lot of the same replies from these individuals. So let me share with you a little bit of the insight from these folks first. Number one, almost all of them said they absolutely love it. It is a passion. It's really important to them. It fills their cup. It makes them very prideful that this group is still together. They also said, which was reassuring to me, that they sometimes are annoyed that this is their responsibility. Okay, and here's the thing. You are who you are. And sometimes we forget that our skills, our talents, the things that we're good at are the things that we kind of volunteer ourselves to do. And then we're annoyed when everyone kind of expects us to do that thing. That's human nature. If you're married, you know what I'm talking about. When you first get married, I don't think very many couples sit down and say, okay, listen, you're going to do the dishes and I'm going to bathe the kids, or you're going to take the trash out and I'm going to be the one who cleans up when the kids get sick. Like, you just step into your role. But as with all relationships, that thing that you're good at, that thing that you've kind of raised your hand and offered to take care of, eventually, it's just human nature to feel a little bit of resentment. Like, why am I the one who's always got to take out the trash? Why am I the one who always has to organize these parties? And I was more than a little bit relieved to hear from many of the quote unquote friend organizers, to hear from them that they sometimes feel frustrated. That's probably the best way to summarize what the organizer said. They just feel frustrated that this group of friends loves getting together. They love each other. They look forward to these events, whether it's, you know, monthly, or some people get together a couple times a year, once a year, whatever it is. I can relate to that because I sometimes feel very frustrated that I'm the person who puts these together, like, oh, woe is me. But I also volunteer to do it. You know what I'm saying? So I really can't complain that much. And I have to remind myself that, you know, everyone has their role, number one. And number two, I'm just blessed to be able to financially be able to do this. You know, that's a blessing. And so what business do I have to complain? And I put myself in check. It's still human nature. It just is, in all relationships, to go like, why am I always the one? So just a word to those of you who are, you're the person who does the planning, whether it's for your group, whether it's date night between you and your husband, or you're the person who's always calling your best friend and saying, hey, let's do this, let's do that. And not even just talking in groups. If you're the person in the relationship who does the planning, the organizing, the orchestrating, comes up with the ideas, don't be resentful for it. I know that's human nature to feel that way from time to time, but it's your role. It's what you're good at. And that's why people, they do expect you to do it, because you're good at it. And that's what we expect of people, when everyone has a role. So just don't be resentful of your role. Be empowered by it. Do it lovingly. Don't do it expecting something in return. It's because you're good at it. But what if you don't have this, you know, tight group of friends and you wish that you had? Well, that's what I'm going to address for you now. First of all, you have to know this. There are seasons of your life where you're just not going to have much time for this. When my kids were really little, I just didn't leave them. You know, 2-year-olds, 4-year-olds, like, you just, I don't know. I didn't leave my kids then. I didn't want to go away with my girlfriends. I didn't want to miss a moment of time. My kids are older now, and we started doing this. I started doing this again, like, you know, probably 12 years ago. And I do it once a year. I'd like to do it more than that. But again, it's kind of based on the season of life that you're in. Other than just having your own children, sometimes that season is based on, like, maybe you're really focused on developing your career, or you're in the beginning stages of your marriage, or financially, it's just really hard to break away. I guess what I'm trying to say is, it's not weird if you don't desire spending time with girlfriends or guy friends. I don't think that's strange. But if it's something you desire, if it's something you feel like, oh man, I feel so good, like, so refreshed, so restored when I can just laugh uncontrollably with some girlfriends. Like, if you miss that, if you desire that, well, then find a way to do it. Find a way to do it that doesn't compromise what's important to you with your family and your priorities. But you can do so on a shoestring budget. You don't have to take an expensive trip into another state or another country or even to travel any distance. I mean, there are ways to do it. So let's talk about those of you first who you desire this and you don't have it. How do you create it? Well, the first thing I want to tell you is don't be desperate. There's nothing less attractive than insecurity or codependence. That person who you feel like, oh man, they need this. Not that they want it. It's like they actually need it and they feel needy. So don't be desperate. My next tip is to start with one person. Just start with one, maybe two people. And you don't have to think in terms of like, oh, I need a group of 10 girls or I need a group of like, you know, 15 buddies that I graduated from college with. Like, you literally need one or two people. It's nice to have three because then it's easier to expand that. When it's just two people, it's kind of weird. You both have to agree on inviting the next person into this tight little circle. Like, that's a friendship. But we're talking a circle of friends. Just think small. And think, okay, who do I just get along with so well? We have so much in common. And then put your heads together and say, you know, let's do a girls' weekend where it's not just the two of us. Let's invite somebody else who fits with who we are. You know, what's really interesting in the survey that I sent to my followers, I asked, what's the one thing that you're looking for when you're inviting like a new person into your circle? Or when you think about this group of special friends, what one thing do you all have in common? And it was really interesting because the responses were very similar. They were like, it's hard to put my finger on it. We all have very open minds. We're all funny. We're all lighthearted. Nobody gets their feelings hurt. No one's fake or phony. Everybody's pretty authentic and accepting and open. And oftentimes they shared a hobby in common. Or maybe they shared a common experience, like they all worked at the same restaurant, or they all lived in the same dorm, or they all, you know, went to the same church. Like, so there was kind of a common meeting place, not for all, but with most, and at least in the core group. And then they would invite like somebody else in to this circle that fit. And the common denominator in people that fit is like no drama. You're not going to be invited into a circle if you're the person who's like, why wasn't I invited? Like, you'll never get invited because people already know that you're hung up on those kinds of things. Like, we're adults here. It's just, it is what it is. Like, this isn't middle school. This isn't high school. And if you're going about this with a, gosh, I need to be invited because therefore then I will, that will mean I belong. That means I'm good enough. That means I fit. That means they've accepted me. Your mindset is already being broadcast to the people who know you. People know that about you. And it's not attractive. What can you do about it? Not worry about what other people think. What can you do about it? You can know that you are enough, and who invites you where or who you're hanging out with or who you're friends with does not define you. It doesn't make you a good person, doesn't make you a more popular person. It's none of those things. In order to really have a cohesive group, from everyone that I heard from, including my own experience, you need a group of people who just enjoy being with each other for all the right reasons. It's not to get a leg up. It's not to improve their social status. It's not to say that they hang out with so-and-so or so that they fit in. They just truly enjoy being with each other. The next thing you can do to create a group or cultivate a group is to revisit your past connections. I did this recently. One of the people who we invited on our trip this year. No one in my group, well, I shouldn't say that. One other person, two other people were familiar with her, like knew her from 20 years ago. And I spent time with her 20 years ago. That's my friend Brooke. But everybody else, you know, we've been coming to the same event year after year after year after year for the last 10 years. And this year I invited my friend Brooke. And I knew Brooke was the right person to invite because she just fits without having had the 20 years experience with everybody else there. Like, from the first minute she walked in the door, everyone's like, oh my gosh, comfortable. I've known her forever. You know, one of those people. Again, not needy, confident, comfortable, not struggling, worrying what other people think, just truly there to soak up the other women and to be herself. Funny, great sense of humor, authentic, willing to be vulnerable. Like, these are the things that I knew all of this about her. So I knew she would fit perfectly this year when we had an opening. But this wasn't a new friend. Brooke is someone who I really had kind of lost connection with over the last 20 years. She was at my wedding. Oops, I mean our wedding. Anyway, she stood up at our wedding. And then just because of distance, we kind of lost touch with each other. We would check in maybe every couple of years. But when you're thinking about bringing a group together kind of on an annual basis or maybe a monthly basis, you got to think about the quality of the person, not where they live and not how often you see them. Because there's some people right now, you hang out with them because of proximity. They take the same fitness classes as you, or they work with you, or they live in your building. And so it's a friendship of convenience, but they're not necessarily the kind of person you would invite into, you know, a tight-knit special group that gets together once a year. So don't confine yourself to people who live locally, and don't think that you just have to focus on putting or assembling this group of people that you're hanging out with currently. Reconnect with people from your past, people who you're like, she was awesome. You know, we just have lost touch, but I really loved her. I think she's a great person. There was never a fallout. There's never anything weird. I should reconnect with this person and just give it a shot. Reach out to them maybe in social media and reconnect. The next thing you can do to expand your circle of friends is to be open to meeting friends of your existing friends. Let's say you only have one person who's a friend, or maybe it's a coworker who's got a friend. Don't be afraid to ask other people to introduce you to their friends. Don't be afraid to invite yourself when it's appropriate to other activities. What's the worst that can happen? They can say, oh, no, actually, it's just the two of us. It's all in how you ask, right? Like, you know, let's say there's two guys at work, and let's say you're a dude, and there's two guys at work that are, you know, they play basketball on the weekends, and you know they're part of a league. You can just say, hey, you know, just set it up so that it's not uncomfortable for them to decline your inviting yourself. Like, hey, you know, I know you guys play in a league or whatever, but I've been looking for a league to join, and so if there's ever an opening or whatever, or you need a player last minute, you know, hit me up. That'd be so fun. Make it easy for people to go, oh yeah, okay, sure. You know, like maybe there's a group that gets together and you know this on Saturday mornings for coffee, a group of ladies, and man, you'd like to have that invite. And you feel like, gosh, I wonder why they haven't invited me. Well, maybe they hadn't even thought about it. Or maybe they want their group to be just five people. Either way, it doesn't hurt to ask. It's all in how you invite yourself. Invite yourself in a way that doesn't make you look or sound needy, and invite yourself in such a way that it's really easy for them to decline your invitation to yourself. In other words, if there's a group of gals who get together every Saturday morning, you happen to know that they go and have coffee and you would love to invite yourself, you just say, you know, listen, if there's ever an open chair, I think that sounds like amazing what you gals do. So it seems like it'd be a ton of fun. I know you probably have, you know, a certain number of people that you invite or whatever, but just know that if there's ever a last minute cancellation or just if you ever need an extra body, just know I'd love to join you. But remember, whoever the person is who organizes this, that's the person you've got to make contact with, right? So if you're not connecting with the organizer, and there's always an organizer, there's always a person who puts things together, who sets the date, sets the time, and is usually in charge of who gets invited, that's the person you need to connect with, and not just once. This is a special group of friends, remember? So just because they're looking at you from afar, or you occasionally say hello, or you occasionally like their photos on Instagram, you're not in the front of their mind when they're assembling this group. Now listen, a special group of friends are people who feel really comfortable and connected around each other. So if you're not connecting on a regular basis with this organizer, it's not likely you're going to get yourself an invite. So you've either got to do that, or you've got to create your own group and you've got to be the organizer. In fact, in my online survey of quote unquote the organizers of this group, almost all of them reported that they stay in contact with the members throughout the year. They mentioned that they either do group Zooms or Skypes. They have a thread, a group chat where they all connect with each other, but that it's really important that they stay connected throughout the year. And I can tell you from personal experience, there's been times where, you know, I felt like, oh, I really like this person. We should invite them into the fold. I just think they're a perfect fit. They'll enrich the group. And then we never heard from them again. Like, nobody did. And it was like, well, that's kind of weird. Like, so you almost feel like maybe they didn't want to be connected to the group. It's not like that's offensive or that we have like a meeting like, how often did this person connect with us? It's not like that. But let's face it, if we're all connected and we're all keeping up with each other's lives, it's very clear that we're doing it because we care very much about each other. Again, if you're wanting to be a part of a special group of people because you think it's going to elevate your importance or significance, it's the wrong reason to do this. It's the wrong reason to put a group together. It's the wrong reason to look for a special group of people because it's not going to change your significance. It will enrich your life. It's an amazing experience, but only if you're there to enrich other people's lives. And you have to really want to do that because you care about other people. And so for myself personally, and for the many respondents who filled out my survey, they said, like, it's really important because we care about each other. We've gone through deaths and marriages and births and divorces, and we're all there for each other all the time. And even though we live far away from each other, we really want to see each other succeed and grow. That's hard to find. So don't expect to have a group of 10. You know, when I first started assembling this group, I'd say there's maybe like five of us. And it's just grown very slowly over the years. The number of individuals who are in your special tight-knit group is irrelevant. What's really important is the quality and authenticity of those relationships. Are people just showing up to have a good time, or do they really care about each other? And when you're together, how easy is it, right? Like, sometimes there's one or two people who you can just feel like they're uncomfortable. They're not being authentic, not letting their guard down. Maybe they're nervous. And it just throws a wrench into the situation. When you're talking about the special group of friends, like, there's people who you are acquaintances with and they're fun to be around and they're entertaining, etc. But like, I'm talking about the special group of friends. It's got to be easy. My next suggestion to you is to belong to a community. If you don't already belong to one, well, first of all, if you belong to a community, that's a great place to look for people who you already have something in common with. But you've got to be willing to take the risk of being rejected. But it's really not rejection. It's going to feel like rejection, but it's not. Nonetheless, if you want this, and you should because it's very rewarding, all things that are very rewarding are also a little painful and uncomfortable. You've got to be willing to go there. You've got to be willing to ask someone if they want to go to coffee or if they'd like to join you, you know, for a workout class or whatever. You got to do the inviting, and you got to be okay and not take it personal if they're like, yeah, oh, thanks. Yeah, maybe sometime we'll do that. And you feel like they aren't interested. So what? Move on. Next, you know, take a number, move on. It's about numbers. You might have to have this type of invitation with 10 people before one says, yeah, that sounds like fun. And that's the person who we're meant to connect with. Listen, life is too short to connect with everybody. So thank God, thank Jesus that some people are going to decline your invitation because you don't have enough hours in the day to be close friends with everyone. But start with the communities that you already belong to. Maybe it's your church. Maybe it's an online group. I mean, there are people who I didn't know from Adam 5 years ago. And I feel like I really know who they are because I watch them every single day on social media. A great example of this is my friend Nicole Walters. I mean, I invited her to come and stay with me in Southern California after having watched like maybe 4 months of her going online every day live on Periscope. And I'm like, I know her. I know who she is. Like, did I really know? But like, you know, you've got this intuition about people. And so don't just think people in your neighborhood or other moms at the school. Don't be afraid to look at the communities where you have something in common with people. And that can be online. As they say, fish where the fish are. The people who you have a lot in common with are doing the same things that you're doing. If you don't belong to any organizations, if you're not around people who have something in common with you, dude, it is time for you to expand and do more. You've got to put yourself out there. Join a group. Interact with other people. Don't be afraid to be social. It's not personal. And you've got to put yourself out there. And the way that you do that, the way that you become interesting to other people is by being interested in them. Ask questions. You know, whenever I say that, I'll hear from many of you and you'll say, I understand that that's what I should do, but I feel like I'm being nosy. So what? You can't worry about that. If you're truly curious about other people, if you're truly interested in other people, you got to ask questions. And people love to talk about themselves. If you sit down next to me as a stranger at the airport or you're standing behind me in line at the grocery store, I'm going to ask you questions, not because I'm, you know, definitely trying to expand my circle of friends, but because I'm interested in people. And I've never had a situation where someone responded as though I was being nosy. Because if you're taking an interest in others, it just shows you care, you have empathy, and you notice people. No one's going to think you're being nosy. And by the way, if they do think you're being nosy, perfect. Now you know right up front, this is not somebody who you're going to try to become closer friends with or add to your circle of really important people. Like if this person is uncomfortable and thinks you're being nosy, they're too guarded. They're never going to be authentic. They're never going to let their guard down. So just be grateful that you got this red flag early, this warning sign, if you will, and move on. Relationships are incredibly rewarding. You can't be everything and everyone to your significant other. You need to be independent, you know, and that doesn't mean that you're constantly going on, you know, girls' night out or doing these wild trips with the guys, but it's very powerful to reconnect with your friends and to do so in a way, of course, that your significant other doesn't feel threatened, but that it enriches you and helps you to grow as a person, as an individual. You know, we have to be secure and confident in who we are as individuals in order to be a better couple. When Brett and I were first married, I would have to say the first probably 10 years of our marriage, first of all, our kids were young, so I didn't do much with my girlfriends. But I also felt, I don't know, I felt like he never said, like, you can't do that, but I didn't feel comfortable doing it. I felt like he might feel threatened. And then, you know, through marriage counseling, because we've done tons of marriage counseling, and that's why we're so solid. Thank you. You should do some yourself. But in marriage counseling is where I think we really learned how important it was for us to have our independence and to not feel responsible for him all the time. I don't know if he felt that way for me, but I just didn't do anything like that with my girlfriends because I didn't want him to, I don't know, feel lonely. I didn't want him to be without me. I didn't want him to feel insecure. I didn't want him to feel jealous, any of those things. And he never was doing things with his buddies. So it took me doing things and encouraging him to create friendships of his own and to take trips like snowboarding trips with his friends. And I'm telling you, it's really, really enriched our marriage. And we're better when we're together because we can be independent when we're apart. Lastly, I want to address the subject of mindset. If you've said out loud, or maybe just in your own head, I don't have friends like that. I can't find friends like that. I don't have many friends. I don't have many people I can count on. I need you to know, you've made that decision. You have created a situation where you don't have many people to count on because for whatever reason, maybe you've driven them away by being too needy, or maybe you haven't let people in. Maybe you haven't taken the effort to connect with people for fear that they're going to reject you or that they're not going to give you the response or the reaction that you're looking for. If you desire this kind of friendship, the type of close-knit individuals that you can be so comfortable around, you can be yourself and you can rely on them and you know that they're going to be there for you and that they love you and support you, you've got to work at this and you've got to work on yourself. You've got to figure out what it is you're doing that's not allowing that to come into your life. Whether it's, you know, you intentionally doing things because you're afraid of rejection or you're afraid of getting hurt, people have burned you in the past, like whatever that is, like the past is the past. And if you're telling yourself, I just can't trust people, women burn me, or, you know, guys, just whatever, like whatever your beliefs are, that's what's shaping your reality. My belief is that my group of friends are amazing. My belief is that I've got great radar for great people and that people are going to be loyal and trustworthy and they're going to be there for me. That's my belief. And so that's my reality. Whatever is your belief has become your reality. So if you're not in love with your reality, you got to look at what beliefs you have that have created this reality. If you want more people you can rely on and trust and who are there to support you, then you've got to let people in. And you've got to not just be needy, you've got to be the person who's there for them too. This is like a two-way street. You've got to connect with people. You've got to trust them with your story, and you have to be there for their story. This has got to go both ways. You can't be the needy one. You can't be the person who's always filling the other person's cup. I mean, you'll just come to resent them. Comfortable, easy relationships go both ways. So stop keeping score. Stop worrying about what they think or who contacted who last or whether you're invited to this or that or what they might think if you call them or text them. Just connect with people. Just reach out. Okay, one last thing I'm going to say. I keep saying one last thing, but this is like legit one last thing. On the inside of my makeup cabinet, like the cabinet that I open up every single day to put my face on, I have this list. It's a list that I've created on Post-it notes, and it's got the names of important women, important friends, important people in my life that I post there because I need a reminder to connect with them. A lot of them don't live near me, but I love them, and they are the women that I invite on this trip. So I have their names on a Post-it note so that every day when I open that up, I think about them, and it reminds me to send them a quick text or to check in with them or to keep up with their social media and then call them. And you know what? I think I need to do another follow-up podcast on how to maintain those kind of friendships because we talked a lot about it on our last trip. If that's something you'd love to hear, I want to keep this brief today, let me know. Let me know by reaching out to me in social media, Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, wherever you want to find me, even Twitter. Let me know if you'd like for me to expand on this topic, like how to maintain these friendships once you have them, and use the hashtag Chalene Show. That way I can find it easily. Again, the hashtag is Chalene Show. And I love hearing from you guys. And I love your ideas for shows. Thank you so much for requesting this one. This was one of the most popular requests that I received when I put it out to social media to let people know that they could pick the topics. I like to do that. So you let me know by using the hashtag Chalene Show what more you'd like to learn on the subject of friendships and creating these connections and maintaining them. I am here to support and serve you because you are thebomb.com. This edition of The Chalene Show was brought to you by 131 Movement. Stop dieting. Save your brain. Save your gut. Live longer. Feel better. Stop going on a diet or following somebody else's rules and figure out what it means to have your own diet. Figure out a method that actually serves you, that helps you to be a better version of yourself. Let go of all of this craziness and confusion that surrounds diet and understand the science of one, the study of one. Join the 131 movement today. We're taking back the word diet and getting what we are rightfully entitled to, which is our health. You deserve not just to look amazing, but to feel amazing. I'd love for you to learn more about my personal journey and why this is a true passion for me. I invite you to learn more by going to 131movement.com.